Good morning, everyone. It's really such a pleasure this morning to be able to share around the heart of hospitality. It's actually interesting that we have so many new faces here this morning. So I hope you feel very welcome. It's actually strange for me that God has me talking on this topic at this in this season of my life. They asked me to share a little bit about this at the Pastor Summit, just how we as a church do it. And then Rhonda Bosch asked me to come and share at their place just before an evangelical, the campaign they had. And I was thinking, Lord, why do you want me to share on this now? Like, I haven't invited someone over to my home in a very long time because I'm trying to keep my kids alive and I'm trying to stay sane. So, and trying to see me keep my house in order. So thinking of inviting people over is like, no, I can't do that. But God has just highlighted to me again how important this is to Him. And I feel like there's another dimension He wants to take us into. There's always room for development. I really think that our church, it's part of our gift set as a community, is hospitality and community. And people comment on how welcome they felt and how lovely the community is, and they enjoy the people, and we have such lovely people. But there is always room for development because the kingdom of God is not static. It's always expanding, it's always developing, always maturing, and the kingdom of God loves to challenge the status quo. God loves to come and shift our way of doing things because we want to see the kingdom come, not our kingdom or the way we've been doing it for many years. We want to see His kingdom come in its fullness, and that's what this is about. Like I say, I was extremely convicted while I was preparing the message and sharing it because we need to stay humble and teachable because we are becoming more like Christ. And hospitality is who He is. That is literally who He is. And if you think of the prophetic theme of Shofar at the moment, if we look at all the videos on the sound of the harvest, we can kind of come to the realization that we should expect a harvest coming in, and we should be ready to receive that harvest. And practically, what does that look like? Do we know what hospitality looks like in the kingdom of heaven? And that is what this morning is about. So like I say, God opened things up for me as well, and I was like, whoa, okay, we can step up a bit. So that's very exciting. Basically grew up in a home where hospitality was part of our fiber, our DNA. Till this day, my mom, we are a big family. But apart from the family, everyone brings their friends and friends' friends and the moms-in-law and everyone come with. There's long tables set beautifully with flowers, and every time there's another theme. And my mom makes food abundantly. There's always left. And that's kind of the culture. Also in South Africa, we're used to that abundance. No one must go home hungry. Like if four people come over, you make for eight. That's just how it works. So that's how I grew up, with that abundance. But I felt like God saying hospitality is so much more than beautiful tables and food. It's more than that. And that's what I feel like God wants to come and show us this morning. And there might be some of you sitting here this morning in like hospitality, close the doors, like I couldn't even cook an egg, you don't understand. You haven't seen my place, I'm a bachelor, or whatever. So this is not for me. A newsflash, God wants to come and bring a revelation this morning that hospitality is for everyone. It's actually a command in the Bible. And then for others of you, you might thinking of beautiful tables and food, it's like, oh, that's my love language. God might be speaking to you this morning that it might be a ministry, that He wants you to live out your calling in the kingdom through hospitality. So may God really come and impact you. He's going to speak to you in the way that you need to do this, but open your heart to receive and hear what He wants to tell you. So before we start, I just want to ask, if you think of hospitality in the Bible, what comes up? Stories, what?
Okay, Jesus, when the disciples came off the boat, he brought a fish for them on the beach. Okay? That's hospitality. What else? Yes? Mary and Martha, who invited people in, invited Jesus in and hosted him very well. Jesus at the wedding, big feast, making more wine, more than they needed. The feeding of the 5,000, yes. The Last Supper. So there was always eating and communing together. It was part of the culture and the heritage that they lived in. I always think of the early church and how they interacted in community and how they hosted strangers. It would be like a free Airbnb. You just know, like in that town, there's this one in that house. If you ever need a room, you go there. I would freak out. God is seriously still working in me. If someone just knocks on my door and say, like, God, send me here. I need a place to sleep. I'd be like, where? I just need to quickly double check that. So God is obviously doing a work in my heart. But that is what the early church did. That's how God worked. And this scripture comes to mind, and I just want you to hear this. Acts 2, verse 46 to 47. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. So this was a daily thing. Every meal a celebration, exuberant, joyful, as they praised God. So everything was a celebration, like God is good, community is good, family is good, this is amazing. And they ate together and they praised God by doing this. It's actually an act of worship. And people in general liked what they saw. So the people walked by and thinking, like, who are these happy? They're happy. Like, who are they? They liked what they saw. And then it says, every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. So these people saw, like, God's people are loving one another properly here. They're having fun. It's joyful. I want to be part of this. Tell me more about this God. And that's what's so amazing about it. It's actually a ministry tool. And I always love giving a definition because sometimes it flips what we believe of something on its head. And it's just good to, again, look at that. The definition for hospitality, and this one we kind of all know, friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. How many of you lately have invited a stranger into your home? Well done, Sue. That's amazing. Who was it? A cyclist. Amazing. But that's the idea, hey? Then, awesome, look at the synonyms for the word hospitality, and this is what we're getting at. So hospitality is just not just making food and setting pretty tables. Hospitality is friendliness. It's hospitableness. It's welcome. It's a warm reception. It's helpfulness, neighborliness, warmth, warm-heartedness, kindness, kind-heartedness, sociability. There's something for the introverts. Generosity, liberality, bountifulness, open-handedness. And that is what the early church looked like. And if we think of someone walking in here for the very first time on a Sunday, this is what they should experience. Otherwise, we're missing it. This is what they need to experience. And then let's take it a step further. The Greek word for hospitality literally means loving strangers. It literally means loving strangers. It's easy to come here on a Sunday and see your accountability partner or someone in your small group. Hey, it's lekker! We saw each other on Wednesday, now we're going to chat, it's so lekker. That's easy to do. It's easy to invite your family over for dinner because you know them, you love them, it's easy. But that's not necessarily what hospitality is. God is calling us to, for a moment, even forget about ourselves and the people we know well, and actually focus on the people we don't know well. And the new people coming in. I'm sorry, there are a few new people here this morning. You're not a project today. Not at all. It's just the heart that we want to bring across. Yeah, everyone's going to swarm to you afterwards. Sorry about that. So the idea, people should never feel like a project. If you can't do it out of the abundance of your heart, rather just check your heart with God first and then go again. So you get people who like, I have to chat with that person now and I have to make this work. And like, hi. We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We don't want to scare them off. Don't hug an introvert or a touch defensive person. Maybe get to know them first. But I just mean, our attention needs to shift from myself. When I walk in here, it's not about me seeing my clan. Do that in the week. When you're here, shift your focus. God wants to use all of us. So in biblical times, hospitality was practiced by showing kindness to others, by opening one's home, that's one aspect, sharing a meal, but also welcoming them into your life. You can, you know, you can keep people at arm's length. That's not the idea. So I really believe that hospitality in church should be the same as it is in our homes. Church should become an extension of our homes, and our homes should become an extension of church. It must be a fluid thing of interaction and community. And church and church family shouldn't necessarily happen separately from our family, our biological or our natural family. It's one thing. So when I'm talking today about hospitality, don't differentiate between, oh, hospitality at home, this is what it looks like, or hospitality at church. It's a heart thing that I feel like the Father wants us to catch. And something about the heart of the Father, what he wants to impart in us today. Like we see Acts Church, that fellowship all around, that open homes, that open hearts, that open hands. And right off the church, they went on caring and spending, doing life together, basically. And this is the thing, hospitality will ask you to give something of yourself. Either your resources, or your time, or your energy. For me, energy is a big thing. I don't want to speak it over myself, but I have less energy than most people. So for me, it really, you know, it takes a lot of energy. Sometimes it is sacrificial. And that's what we need to understand here. If we're not willing to be stretched to open our homes or our hands or our hearts in our everyday lives, at work or at school when you're picking up the kids, or in your home or your family, it's very unlikely that you are going to do it in church. It needs to be something that God stirs in our hearts and really does in our hearts. And then if this is not something that we grow in, we will see that new people or people that we really don't know that well will always be kept at arm's length. And it will be very hard for them to become part of the community, to become part of the family. And that's really not the idea. You know the word, a holy huddle. There's this word, a holy huddle. We should never become that. And it's easy because if you have a lovely community, I think we have a lovely community. If you have that, it's very easy to become that. But we need to open and extend that love. There's also a study done that people who actually have community and friends in church tend to stay in church. So the idea is never that you just come to church and go home. You must do life together. And I am challenged by this most of all. Like I say, I'm an introvert. People sap my energy. It's just how it works. I need time alone. Now I have 3 daughters. They never stop talking. I have a husband. He talks a lot. So I don't have quiet time. So when I come to church, it's like, it's more people, Lord. And sometimes after a long night and I haven't had a lot of sleep, I think I should get a badge just by, I'm here, my 3 kids are dressed, we didn't kill each other, I'm here. But that's not cutting it, that's not God's heart. And I have to trust him with my energy, and I have to let the Holy Spirit be that through me. It's a sacrificial thing. That's where table ministry actually is a very good way to connect with people. When you invite people you see at church to your home, now we can actually spend time, introverts like one-on-one, So now we can spend time, I can get to know you, we can chat. Now we know each other great. We know each other better. That's a very good tool for this. And there are a few couples, if I miss you, I'm so sorry, but the people in this church that stand out for me with regards to this, if you look at Oom Johan and Tanriana, they're always connecting with people. If I've heard again, they've invited people over for dinner. Dirk and Cecilia, every time I speak to her, she's like, I've had this one over for coffee and we've had this couple over for dinner. They had Karen over for dinner on Friday night. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, thank God you're in our church. Dominique and Albert. Dominique will constantly ask me, like, have you connected with this one? Do you know this one? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know that person. Who is this person? She knows everyone's names. She knows everything. And it's just amazing. It's a... wat's a ingesteldheid? It's an attitude that they've cultivated. They care for people and they care for everyone, not just their friends. There are more people. Chris is always talking to people that he doesn't know. He's always mingling and they make it look easy. Like for me, it's like, hi, you know, but again, I'm letting God use me. I'm letting him change me and make me more like him. Jesus wasn't full of nonsense. And then the scripture in 1 Peter 4, verse 8 to 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Why would Peter say without grumbling? Because sometimes you don't feel like it. When Retief says to me and he comes and he's like, go talk to that person. I'm like, oh, don't tell me that now. But he's right. I am getting over myself. I'm just being very honest here this morning. I'm changing, becoming more like Christ. Praise God. So hospitality will stretch you. And sometimes it might make you feel uncomfortable, especially if you're shy, especially if that's not something that comes natural for you. But let God change us. So what does the Bible say about hospitality? Why hospitality? The first thing that came up for me here is we are called to be hospitable because our Father is. The scripture that says, 1 John 4, verse 16 to 17, and we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. Then it's easy to love on people. In this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for as he is, so are we in this world. That is what we're striving to be. As God is in heaven, so are we in this world. And I just want you to look at the following picture. That is Jesus, the painting. It's a prophetic painting, and it's called First Day in Heaven by Kiro. He has a big name, but by Kiro. And that is Jesus welcoming someone into heaven for the first time. And as he is in heaven, so are we on this earth. And if you look at that, he is welcoming. He's warm. He's inviting. He's approachable. He's generous. He's selfless. And he really is kind to all who come to him. That's who he is. He cannot be something but that. And he celebrates all. He sees all. He sees every person coming through that door. He sees everyone. And he loves to meet the needs of every single person. He loves meeting needs. As he is, so are we on this earth. We are called to do that. We are called to be this for people. The second thing, why hospitality is so important, is people long to belong. These days, Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. There's such a huge need for belonging and for family and for authentic connection these days. With the modern, with the digital age and social media and Instagram and Facebook, people think there's this illusion that we're actually connecting with the people. I saw your photograph, I liked it. You liked my photograph, we connected. We're like friends for life here. And it's an illusion because you haven't spoken to that person You don't know what's really going on in their life. You haven't been able to share what's bothering you. So it's not true connection. And that's the problem. People have learned to kind of draw to themselves, do life on their own, and isolate. And church should be the antidote to that isolation. Church should be a place where people come in they experience hospitality and community and family. And if they're not experiencing it, we are doing something wrong. Because we are supposed to set the bar for authentic, healthy community. When people walk in, like with the Acts Church, not even walk in here, when they spend time with us in general in life, they should experience warmth and friendliness and generosity and love when they're with us. The thing is, people will join all kinds of groups and clubs because they love doing life with other people. You can read a book on your own, did you know that? But people join book clubs. You can cycle on your own, but people like to cycle with other people. You can do a lot of things on your own, but people love doing life with other people that share their interests. And church is supposed to be that. And if people don't find that in church, they will go join other groups or other communities. It's not a law, but it's a hearts thing again. We need to show people where they belong. And I just want you to close your eyes for a second. I just want to do something or show you something. Close your eyes. And I want you to picture the person that you've been praying for a very long time for salvation. You have been praying just for them to connect with someone that can break through. Someone who can show them who God is. And I want you to picture them just as they are walking through that door at the back. And I want you to imagine how you would want people in this room to respond to them when they walk in. What is your heart for them? That is the Father's heart for every person that walks through that door. You can open your eyes. And I believe hospitality in church is to show people their place at the Father's table. We come here to fellowship, and in the Spirit there's this long table, and the Father is there. And we can either all huddle around Him and keep the others out, especially when they're not saved, when they don't know the Lord, or we can come and tell them, hey, come sit. Here's your dad. There's a space for you at the table. That's hospitality. That's showing people where they belong. Number three, the importance of hospitality. As we serve and love others, we are in fact serving and loving God. We all know the scriptures, Hebrews 13 verse 1 to 2, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. That would be awesome. But we are actually doing that when we are entertaining people. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 36 and 40. For I was hungry, Jesus said, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's just so amazing. We can do everything as unto the Lord, knowing that even when it comes hard for you, when it's not something that is, you get the people who just love having people over at the home all the time. For others, it's not as easy. You get the people who love talking to everyone, like Albert. He loves talking to everyone. And then you get the people who don't. But know that as you do this to others, you are doing it to the Lord. The fourth one, and this is one of my favorites, is it unlocks the miraculous and releases provision. So we don't have an excuse. And I was thinking, I was actually, last week, Retief shared about the, I always get it wrong, it's 2 fish and 5 loaves, right? I always switch them, and I'm like, oh. Anyway, 2 fish, the protein is less. So he shared the story last week, and I was like, ah, oh, now you sharing the story, and this is like the clincher of my message. But I realized, like, it's totally different things that God is showing us from this. And obviously, this is a scripture that he wants us to really know. It's a story about the loaves and the fishes, Matthew 14 to 15, 15 to 21. And you can just imagine now, there are thousands of people. For me, it's like, oh, can this day end now? I love people, don't get me wrong. I really do love people. I do. It's just not, that's not where I'm re-energized. Okay, I just want to make that very clear. I do love people. If someone will ask me who is Edna? She loves people. I do love people. Just hear me out. So they've been ministering and tending to people and hearing people the whole day. And they're thinking like, oh, the sun is starting to set. We are almost going to be done. And then it can be us and Jesus. And we can make a fire. And it's going to be so nice. And he's probably going to tell us a lot of stories. And, you know, it's my Jesus. It's so lekker. But, and this is so amazing, Matthew 14. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, this is a remote place, as you can see, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and go buy themselves some food. Like, this is the end of the day now. Boundaries, my limitations, we are done here. And Jesus turns around and says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And immediately they're like, but we only have these 2 fish and 5 loaves. Like, we can't. And he's like, no, no, no. So even they come with a retort and it's like, what's gani? Lekker. And he's like, no, look at me. Look what I'm going to do. So a lot of times our approach when things become uncomfortable for us is like, I have limitations, Lord. I can only give this much time. I'm a mother of 3. Like, my house is dirty most of the time, even though I'm cleaning all the time. Like, this is not working. Or these are my boundaries. This is what I can give, and this is what I can't. So we have these things, and it's good. It's good to pace yourself. It's good to have boundaries. Don't get me wrong. Like Retief always says, don't hear what I'm not saying. But sometimes God wants to do something and he stretches us. So it's very important that we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Because God will ask you to be sacrificial at times. He will stretch you. So our approach is, it's my time, it's my stuff. I don't have enough. I don't have enough energy, Lord. But God is bigger. He's so much bigger. He wants to invite. He wants to provide, and he wants to satisfy completely. That's his heart, always. Invite, provide, and satisfy. That is who he is. We saw that picture. So don't be put off by what you don't have or what you can't do. Let's listen to the rest of the story. So Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And I can imagine they were like, okay. We have only 5 loaves and of bread, 2 fish, they answered. And Jesus said, bring that to me. Bring that to me. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate, all were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 5,000 men besides women and children. So God gives over and above what we can give. You give the little that you have, the little time you have, the little energy you have, the little resources you have. And God will multiply that and he will give it back to you. You will feel more energized than before. You might be blessed in a financial way because you gave something that you didn't foresee, because God loves doing that. Obedience is the key. Please God and not man. And it's not about a 5-star meal or a 5-course meal and getting out your bone china. It's not about that. It's giving and sharing what you have with love and in obedience. That's what it's about. And then there's a story about the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 10, her hospitality. One day, Elisha went to Shunem. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. So now it became a thing. Then she said to her husband, "I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let's make a small room upstairs, put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp there for him. So whenever he comes, he can stay there." So it's like she just opened her heart and her home and her hands completely. It's like, "I know I have to do this. Let's go a step further. Let's make life easier for this guy because he has nothing and he's doing God's work." And the amazing thing is, in this story, as we take care of God's things, he takes care of our needs. As we take care of the needs of others, he takes care of our needs. Because Elisha then found out that they didn't have a baby and that they've been wanting a child. And he obviously pulled a few strings because he's Elisha, and he prayed and she fell pregnant. And it's just like she was serving and giving everything. They probably had an extra room because that was the baby's room or whatever. But God used, you know, what she gave, and God blessed her. And then the other story is so amazing. You can go and look on YouTube, the stories of Heidi Baker, the orphanage in Mozambique, how they really have nothing. Most of the days, the children eat rice and beans. Apparently, rice and beans is a very good nutritional. It has very good nutritional value, but obviously meat would be nice. So when they get guests over and speakers, they make chicken or whatever. And this day they were making chicken for the guests and the kids were going to have rice and beans. And she comes into the kitchen and is like, "No, you're going to give chicken to the kids as well." And the kitchen staff goes, "There literally is one piece of chicken for the grown-ups or the guests. There is not enough chicken." And Heidi Baker said, "Well, then you dish out for the kids first. Then you dish out." And as they were dishing out the chicken, she's just like, "God's going to multiply it. Everyone's going to have chicken." They were dishing out chicken, and it just never stopped. Everyone had chicken, and there literally wasn't enough chicken. And she just has this thing that there is always enough in the Father's house. Always enough in the Father's house. That's his heart. To invite, to provide, and to satisfy. So that's exciting. As we step out, when we feel like I have these limitations, I have these boundaries, I don't have enough, God wants to come and do something with that. So hospitality is as much a spiritual thing, as you can see, as it is a practical thing. The part that we actually always see hospitality as a part of is actually just the expression of love. It's just like if I give you a gift and it's wrapped prettily with flowers and a card, it's an expression of love. I can give you the gift, but it's just so much nicer when it's wrapped prettily. So I just want to quickly look at the important aspects of hospitality. I'm not going to go into it as much, but you'll see in church we put a few chairs there at the back, and you know, we just try to make it pretty because people like pretty. It's just something you like looking at nice stuff. So hospitality, we try to do that, but the first aspect we're going to look at here is atmosphere. And so when you invite people over to your home, these are also things that you can take into account, or when you do a small group or something like that, you can always just look at a few of these things. So atmosphere is determined by the spiritual and the natural, and the natural pretty things will always enhance the spiritual atmosphere that might be there already. So you can do everything right in terms of the spirit. You can pray, you can intercede, the Holy Spirit is there, but if a place is dark and cold and it smells and just picture a very nasty place, then it's going to have an effect on you. You will not feel as comfortable to open to the Spirit. It just works that we are natural beings, so it just works that way, unfortunately. So we need to appeal to the physical senses of people. We need to appeal to the senses. When I invite people over to my house, I want the house to be clean, but obviously God says, for me now, that's not the objective, so I have to let go of perfectionism there. I like my house to be clean. It must smell nice. I will put on lovely lighting, music in the background. So you want people to feel special. When they walk in there, they need to feel like, oh, can I just sit down and relax? This is a lovely place to be. I feel special. I feel welcome. You want that. When people come to your home, you're not going to sit on the couch and play on your phone. It just doesn't work that way. So you want them to feel special. So think of that. And how am I going to make that happen? The first one is attractiveness. I have seen with women's meetings that as soon as you have beautiful tables and you have cards and there's music and candles and everything, the women walk in there like, ah. It's like, oh, I'm so special. God already touched them right there. They know they can go home. It's like, not really, God is amazing. But, you know, it's just the idea of someone having prepared for you. Women are usually the people who prepare for everyone else. So when you walk in somewhere and someone prepared for you, it's like, oh, and it's so pretty, and can I take this home? This is amazing. It just works. It helps just making them feel at ease, breaking down defenses, softening their hearts. I really feel special already. Wow, God, you really love me. And they are immediately more responsive. I'm sure there are men who also work like that. Like, oh, cool, there's a games table. Oh, or whatever, you know. I don't know what appeals to men completely. My husband likes the same thing. He likes pretty things as well. That's one thing we have in common. So it helps. So the other thing is background music. You will see in church, we always have music playing beforehand and after church, and it just sets an atmosphere, it sets a tone. We know that the words being sung is the Holy Spirit, is life-giving, so it's also creating a spiritual atmosphere. So also, if we want to do a celebration day, we're going to use music that's a bit more upbeat and lively and fun, but not killing all the conversation. Or when it's a healing service, we're going to put on music that's a bit more, it's preparing people's hearts to go deep. So we think about things like that. We're not playing the Worship Now CD of 1990 every Sunday before the time and afterwards. We think about things like that. Then lighting can play a big role in terms of atmosphere. Don't use blue bulbs. I always say, we have Retief goes and he buys bulbs and he puts them in, and I'm like, no, it's the blue ones. It's just so cold. That's just a side note. It really isn't that important, but it does make a difference in terms of making something feel warm and inviting. The blue light feels like a hospital. This is just horrible. Anyway, the other evening at our Women at the Well get together, the Monday evenings, we are getting a venue from another church, so beggars can't be choosers. We get whatever room they put us in, and sometimes we get the upper room with windows, and it's lovely, and you have a view, and it's so amazing in the space, and everything's awesome. And then sometimes we get a room downstairs, which is also the toddler room. So the first time we were moved down there, you see the ladies walking in, and it's like, and they go sit down, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help you, please. Because they're expecting the lovely, you know, atmosphere. And then the other night, we had a worship evening, and God just said to me, but use lights. Use lighting. Put on candles. We brought a few bedside lamps. People, it was so amazing. Just that same room was completely transformed. It enhanced the spiritual atmosphere, and the ladies felt special. It really wasn't that big deal. It was candles and lamps. So it does make a difference. Then planning and preparation. When you invite someone over to your home, I usually try, I don't make an elaborate menu. I want to be finished with everything as much as possible, that when the people walk into that door, I am available to them and I can spend time with them. If it's a friend that you've known forever, then it's different. But when you're inviting someone over that you want to make them feel special, you're going to stop everything when they walk in that door. And the same should be in church. We usually, the worship team stops at 10 to 9, and then we put on music because we want everyone to be focused on the people walking in there. All our setup is finished. We try to do that so that we can connect with one another and connect with people. So, and then the fourth one here is partner with the Holy Spirit. Again, you can have everything perfectly done, perfect lighting, perfect tables, perfect everything, but you're busy with other things, or you're like, hi, and you know, people really don't feel welcome. Or we didn't pray beforehand, there's actually people were fighting before it and it made a miff spirit. So things like that happen, so we have to make sure that it's not only the physical things, but also the spirit. They need to be prepared. And here the Holy Spirit actually plays a very big role. Prayer and intercession, but also as we learn to host the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will host other people through us. So make sure that your lamp is full so that you then again can go and light other lamps. And we need to give of ourselves, we need to give of God. When you don't have enough, then you can draw on God. He always has more than enough. So that's important. And here also, there's a thing that they say, there's a difference between entertainment and hospitality. Entertainment, again, I have the 5-course meal, I have everything done, but I'm busy in the kitchen the whole time and I'm running around and stressing and everything's not perfect and I have fallen into that trap because I love when everything works. But I need to sometimes just realize, you know what, that's not important. The person in front of me is the important one now. And you stop rushing and running and you host them well. And then practically, how can we be hospitable in church? Our welcome team, friendly, warm welcomes, and not only the welcome team, for one another as well. A lot of times, I'm so busy with children, I'm like, oh, and that's not right. Like, again, stop everything and greet people warmly and friendly. And then also welcome team, our welcome team is not like that, but you get the people like, hi, hi. And the person is like, who are you? I don't know you. This is weird. I'm not going to come back here. I just feel awkward when I walk through there. So you need to kind of gauge the person that you're going to, you know, encounter. Don't just hug everyone. Don't high five. This person might have a germ thing. So kind of ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can I make this person feel really welcome? Again, the Holy Spirit wants to host them. And then the other thing is that we can create the culture in this community that our homes and our church becomes a fluid thing. That when you meet someone, hey, let's go have a coffee. Or if you've seen them 3 times and you're comfortable, don't you want to come and have dinner with us? Or come to our small group on Wednesday. Or come to Women at the Well. Or come to this. Invite people. We have touchies on a Sunday afternoon. Don't you want to come play touchies? Invite people. It's a culture that all of us need. Ritif and I can't invite everyone for dinner. I will die. But if we all do that, it becomes something that it's a culture and it has momentum. And then just love people by doing special little things. Dominique is preparing something special for next week. It's just something that you do for others. And with the Mother's Day table and the Father's Day table, it's not because we like to do work. It's because we want to make people feel special. So with different things in your small groups or your year-end function for whatever, think of ways you can make people feel special. And then intercession is always key. I know Ritif and them constantly pray for the Holy Spirit to make people feel welcome, for the love of God to be present. When people walk in here, they experience that. And we can pray for that in our homes as well. And we have had many times of people come into our homes and they're like, we feel so at peace here, the Holy Spirit, the presence, wow, it's so awesome. We want to create that wherever we go. And just want to check the time because I still have a few minutes. So I want to play us a video, and it's not this one, it's the other one. I want to play us a video, and I just want to say, for us, thank you. For us to be able to host and celebrate and, you know, do community well, we need to have joy. We need to have joy. You can't like, I'm celebrating you, you're so awesome, welcome, please come in. No. Also not fakes. It's, hi, come in. We need to draw on the Holy Spirit to do this for us. The Holy Spirit is joy. The Holy Spirit is in us, and joy is in us. So we can do this. This morning, Rinda brought the yellow flags, which speaks of joy. She just felt that God wants to celebrate and joy and praise. And I'm like, that's exactly what I felt God wants to release this morning, is joy. That when we spend time together, when we do the long table, we can do the long table, but we can do it with gloomy faces. Like, I have to be here, I'm just eating, and how are you? It's not fun. It's not going to make people want to stay or make people feel happy to be here. So we need to ask God and invite Him to come and bring the spirit of joy in our midst when we commune together, when we have dinner together, when we have church together, that there's a spirit of joy in our midst. And it's something that only He can do. When you've had no sleep, it's hard to muster that up in your own strength, but He can do it. You just need to ask. We just need to ask. And His joy is our strength. He will sustain that. He will give the momentum. So the video isn't as much about hospitality as such, but it's that's the sense that I'm getting. If we're talking about community and the Acts Church and coming together, what you will see in the video is very much that. It's about coming together with joy and with love and celebrating life and celebrating each other and celebrating people we don't know, especially. Okay, and asking the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So we're just going to look at this video quickly.
I remember a few years ago sitting watching the sunrise. It was a typical misty Irish morning, and there was a magical stillness in the air. Something happened that day that I didn't see coming. You see, I've grown up in church. I've been surrounded by the fact that Jesus loves me since I was born. But that day, something new flooded my soul. My eyes were opened, and I was totally overwhelmed by the reality of God. That I was not alone, lost in life, that I was not condemned, but that I was free. And I don't know what happened, but this uncontrollable urge took over me. I jumped to my feet and started sprinting through the fields like a wild man, laughing and crying with pure joy. That was my first taste of the art of celebration. Since that day, I've learned that life has a way of draining that childlike wonder from us. Whether it's through our own failures or disappointments, whether it's suffering or betrayal, or even just familiarity, that's why we put up our defenses, isn't it? That's why we become numb. We pull back from life and become spectators because we're afraid of being hurt again. But the good news is, Jesus is always doing a new thing. He's not finished with us yet. We may doubt, we may feel like we are broken beyond repair, but He is the peace in our troubled sea. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Recently, we made a theological breakthrough as a community, and it has changed everything about our approach. We realize that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. You see, there's an irrepressible laughter in the heart of God, and the whole universe cannot contain it. He is the one who invented celebrations and feasting and holidays. He is the one who sings and dances over us. When he suffered the cross, he did it for the joy set before him. And that joy was knowing that you and I would be fully free, no longer captive to our sin. Yes, the whole human story is described in terms of a celebration, the marriage of Christ to his bride, the church. Our God is the ultimate artist of celebration, the inventor of the party, and the healer of the broken. Now, happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness is an emotion, a superficial response to pleasant circumstances, but joy is deeper. It's a spiritual discipline. We as people are much more inclined towards negativity and cynicism. We don't find it easy or even natural to pursue joy, and that's why God in His Word actually commands us to celebrate. We must wrestle for our blessing. We must fight for our joy. How do we then remind ourselves as a wounded church family that we still have a reason to sing? How do we move from the edges and fringes of the party into the center? Well, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to do that, we have to once again open up our hearts to wonder and beauty. I'm not saying to be fake or put on a false smile, but rather to always find a reason to rejoice, even if we are in the darkest circumstances. We come with the gospel worth celebrating before a celebrating King. And we think our response as worshippers should be obvious. We need to get down to the serious business of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And after all, heaven's going to be the greatest party of all time, and we need to start practicing now. So don't get caught up in your guilt or failure. You are forgiven, you are free, and you're worth more to God than you could ever imagine. So come on, with a childlike heart, wide-eyed with wonder, let's rediscover the art of celebration.
Isn't that just amazing? Now I feel like having a party. So that's the heart of hospitality and celebration and joy, and really trusting God to come and do that in our hearts first, and then in our midst, and then bringing people into that. You can see when the guy stands with a drum, he pulls him by the arm and he brings him in, and that's the idea of today's message. I'm going to ask you to just turn to one another in groups of three, two, four, however you are comfortable, and let's ask God to come and show us how to do this. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit for this to happen, because we can't do it in our own strength. It's something that I believe God wants to birth in our midst. So let's ask Him. Let's ask Holy Spirit, come be that joy in us so that we can love others, so that we can host others well and celebrate each other and celebrate life together. So I'm just going to give us a minute or so. If you can just turn to one another and really ask God to open our eyes to see the people around us and to celebrate them. Okay.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. The one in whom you love and gave yourself for humanity. Increase my love. Help me to love with all.
You guys can just finish up your prayers and I'll quickly close for us. I'll give it a couple of seconds.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one.
Lord, we thank you that just for your heart of hospitality, Lord. You invited us into your story, Lord. At the beginning of time, you invited us into your story. You were hospitable to us as mankind, and you invited us into a plan for humanity, for eternity. And even when we screwed up the first chance, Lord, you were hospitable in sending us Christ Jesus to invite us yet again into a new covenant and being hospitable into a new covenant. And thirdly, Lord, you invite us into an eternal and to an ultimate feast, as we heard earlier. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we thank you that today nobody will walk out here with a religious yoke or false burden. That's not the heart, but by your Spirit, as Edna said, that we're called to partner. Because ultimately, you're the God that sees us. You're the God of the detail. And Lord, firstly, we need to connect with you, and that's our heart's cry, Lord, to connect with you. But then we want to see how others connect with you in detail, Lord. You know if they like chops, you know if they like braaibroodjies, you know if they like kits coffee, you know them and what prophecies their hearts need, Lord. And ultimately, it's just to partner with you, Lord. As you said to this church community years and years ago, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Make us an hospitable people, Lord. And not only here, Lord. Definitely not here. On the road, at the gym, at the work, in our street, in our homes, and towards all that you lead us, Lord. Help us to partner with you by your Spirit. But help us to be a people that see you, seek you, and taste you first. Help us to be a people whose strength is truly drawn from the joy of the Lord. We pray that and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.